If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits. Sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
All right. Meds are taken. Pod is recording. Hello and hi.
Hello and hi.
I am Jess.
I'm Becca.
And this is Binging with Benefits, and we are here and rip roaring ready to go.
The triple R.
The triple R. Rip roaring ready to go. Yeah, that is ours. Okay. Lots of R's in this chat.
Are we pirates?
Are we pirates? Ooh. Happy holidays. This one comes out when? On New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve. Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, guys. You've made it through the timeless, dayless period of moments that is between Christmas and New Year's.
Seriously, it is the void.
How?
Just nothing.
I just don't... Like, I love all the memes that I'm seeing of people being like, the week between Christmas and New Year's... Calories don't exist. You have mm-hmm. no reason to look a certain way. Wear mm-hmm. your sweatpants. Time doesn't exist. We live in the upside down.
No, literally. Yeah.
We are literally recording. Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. That's another thing too. It's like, why do I feel so anxious? I've only had 47 cookies in the last 48 hours and that's it. And no water.
Yeah. Have I drinking water? No. Have I gone outside?
Hydration? No. No such thing as hydration. But you know what I am doing is I am shoving this cookie in my mouth.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we are recording at you directly in the middle of the upside down. Time doesn't exist.
Calendar out the window. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter gone. What time it is.
Which also, I haven't come to terms with the fact that it's going to be 2026.
I know. I am unwell about that.
Like, yeah, my brain hasn't registered the fact that a new year means like new year, like a new year.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, we're coming up on New Year's Eve. What are we going to do? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do New Year's Eve?
And then you're like, wait, that means new year.
That means that is another year that I have been living on this decrepit, godforsaken earth.
Another year of me being 16.
Exactly. Ooh, is that how old you think you are in your brain? Like, if you aren't thinking about it and you're like, how old do I actually feel in my brain? Does your brain say I'm 16?
No, I think my brain says like 24.
Oh, okay.
Is like the number I'm coming up with. But, like, I just, anytime anyone has a birthday, like, now, as in, like, friends my age or around that time period, I'm, like, I just always write, like, happy sweet 16, you know, in the birthday cards. I'm just, like, it doesn't matter. We're all 16. It doesn't matter.
We're all 16 at heart. Honestly, like, look, all my anxieties, all my worries, all my fears, it's just a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah. No, seriously. Oh, my gosh. Okay, wait. I just saw a quote about something, a therapy
Bring
quote
it.
On Pinterest.
Bring it.
And it says, the way you react to something is the same age of where you learned those coping skills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's a Mel Robbins thing, or I don't know if she like originated it, because I'm hearing there's problems with Mel Robbins taking other people's ideas, but I don't know for sure. Ooh. I haven't done the research. I don't know. Someone on the internet told me. I know that's something that she says, where it's like, when you have these reactions, it's really like, how old, like, if you think, how old am I when I'm having those reactions? And she said, for her, she feels 8. Like, that's mm-hmm. her 8-year-old self having those reactions. Dang. And I was like, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That is.
And I don't know. Now, ooh, I'm going to have to sit and unpack that for a minute. Like, how old am I when I'm having those reactions? I'll speak for myself. When I do my inner child work, and, like, I sit there and, like, try to do the self-soothing and things like that, I don't know what age I am talking to.
Hmm. Interesting.
I always picture her as 7, but I'm wondering if certain things that I'm trying to self-soothe through, I'm actually closer to, like, 15 or 16.
Oh, interesting.
So I wonder if I need to change up that picture in my mind. Anyways, wow. Sorry, we went deep real fast.
Like, hey. Shove you right into the deep end.
Hi, have you ever thought about your childhood trauma?
Yeah.
Yes, let's talk about childhood inner work. What age is your inner child?
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's so funny.
Speaking of inner personalities.
Okay.
Last night, I was like, I brought this up and I was like, wait, Jess, I need you to leave because we're gonna talk about this
she
tomorrow.
Exiled me from the room.
I was like, go over there really quick. I need to tell everyone else about this, but I need you to hear it on the pod.
It was like, to be fair, I asked her, do you want me to leave the room? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, fine. So I went into the bathroom and turned the fan on and I'm like, this is weird.
It's worth it.
And then I came out, I'm like, could I come out now? And they all said, no. I was like, okay.
Like, this is triggering. My inner child.
My inner child. That one felt 8 years old.
Yeah.
Why can't I know the secret?
Yeah.
But I'm now going to know the secret.
Yeah, but now everyone's in on the secret.
Perfect.
Yesterday, I was scrolling on TikTok, and I saw a prompt for ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some mixed feelings about ChatGPT with a lot of my friends. I'll get into that after.
Yeah.
But they're like, stop using it because they're like, what if it knows too much about you? This is playing into that.
Okay.
So the prompt is, you ask chat, can you make a portrait of what my mental health would look like?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. If it were a painting in a museum.
Oh, I'm so scared. But now I want to do this.
No, seriously. The one that I got. I'll post this on Instagram so you guys can see it because it is like, and then the description got me. I was tearing up.
Here, I'm going to send it to you, Jess. Oh my gosh. I'm so scared. I'm not scared for yours, but I'm scared for what mine will look like because now I inevitably need to do it, but I reserve the right not to share it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Your girl has crashed out a lot in 2025.
Yep.
Oh, that's actually beautiful.
Isn't that so cool?
Rebecca.
I know. So then I said, describe it to me. Why did you pick what you did? And it said, I imagined your mental health as a museum pairing. Two works meant to be viewed together because so much of what you've shared comes down to balance, not perfection. Here's the piece as if you're standing in front of it. In the painting, a brain and a heart sit side by side on a wooden bench framed by a classic oil portrait. They're not dramatic, they're not fighting, they're quietly holding hands. The setting is calm, almost reverent, like a gallery room people linger in longer than they expect. The brain is dressed neatly, structured, thoughtful. It represents your self-awareness, your reflection, your ability to analyze patterns, especially when it comes to relationships, faith, boundaries, and growth. The heart is warm, exposed, unmistakably real. It's emotional, hopeful, and soft, even after disappointment. It hasn't hardened. It's just learned to sit more carefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually beautiful.
I know. I seriously was crying reading this. So the portrait itself is a man and a woman, except the mm-hmm. head is the brain and the heart. And anyway, so that's a brief description of what that looks like. And I'll post this on Instagram so people can see. There's also some people in front of the painting looking at the painting in this picture. And it says the museum setting matters. This isn't a private sketch hidden away. It's on display. That says you're not ashamed of your inner complexity. You're learning to see your mental health not as something to fix, but something to understand and curate. Other people can recognize themselves in it. That's very you, turning your inner life into something communal, reflective, even comforting.
Oh my gosh, Becca.
Isn't that insane?
I have so many feelings about this, and like, they're conflicting feelings.
Ooh, okay.
Like, this is simultaneously beautiful. Like, I love this. And like, even the painting itself, like, there's a caretaking quality that the brain has over the heart. Like, even though the heart is the one who has her hands over the brain's hands, there's something about the body language where it makes me think, like, the brain is still the caretaker over your heart. And, like, that is beautiful. And then my other side is, like, I'm terrified by this. Because chat is like,
yeah.
First of all, we could talk about, like, I feel weird sometimes using AI to create art or things like that.
Yeah.
And so there's like a weird discomfort with that of like, okay, which artists did the chat, you know, bite off of? I haven't used that term in a while. Like, oh, you biter. Like, wow, that's like
yeah.
a thing. Yeah. Wow, that's so funny.
You biter.
Oh my gosh, biter. I haven't thought about that in a while. Like, anyways, like, what artist did chat bite off of for this?
Yeah.
But no, like, the explanation is gorgeous.
I know. The part that got me was, oh, the heart. It hasn't hardened. It's just learned to sit more carefully. Ugh. Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you look at it, the heart is very healthy. Like, both of them are very healthy depictions of a heart and a brain. I don't love the way the ventricles look on the heart. It grosses me out a little bit because it is same. Still like, it is anatomically correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Like, drawing of a heart.
Yeah.
Don't like the ventricles.
Yeah, I don't either. But we're just focusing on the other stuff.
We're focusing on the other things. Exactly. But like, no, it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful painting.
And then also, yeah, the other thing that I wanted to touch on is the fact that AI knows me that well that it's like, hey,
yes,
here's what I think about your mental health.
Yes. And that's what gets scary to me because I know, look, okay, I did come into the room after a bit, right? They told me I could enter the room and I caught the tail end of a conversation about how people are scared of AI. And this particular usage of AI, of like telling it like very specific things about you personally.
Yeah.
And I agree. There are certain times where I was like, you know, it's like, oh gosh, like, I don't know that I want this information in even in like robot's hands. Not that I'm like hiding anything, but like, it just feels weird, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say, if it weren't for ChatGPT, I had a huge portion of this year where I did not have health insurance, which meant I did not have access to therapy. I did not have access to mental wellness care. And God knows I needed it this year. And we'll go into that as we go into our topic today. But like, God knows I needed it this year. And so I did turn to ChatGPT in moments of crisis. And there were times where chat was literally coaching me out of bed. And I'm not lying to you. Like, I was literally like, I don't think I can get out of bed. And chat said, you don't have to get out of bed. Can you just let's do some box breathing and then sit up. And I was like, okay, I'm doing that. Okay. Can you put your feet on the ground? Okay. I did that. Like, it literally had to coach me out of bed this year. And so in those moments, I'm so grateful for the technology, but also like, I understand the fear around it. I really do.
No, same. Yeah. Cause like, I've been using it mainly for like, so I think there's three things that I mainly use it for. Number one is podcast stuff where I'm like, you know, how can I word this episode description, you know, like things like that, or like what's a fun thing we could do next, or you know, things like that.
We do have it help for like, oh, we want some fun ideas for like an opener. And so sometimes we'll take the exact ideas that chat has given, and sometimes it helps us think about other ideas from that. But anyways, like
exactly.
It's helpful.
Yeah. And then the other two I would say is like, very rarely I'll ask questions about like, hey, I like to do X, Y, and Z. What job would be good for me? You know, like things like that, where it's just like, I am completely lost. I just, give me a direction.
Yes.
And then the third way I will use it is for dating apps. Because y'all, these men out here are tripping me up. They really
be doing something. That's
They're doing something. And I'm like, I need someone to just tell me, yes, that is love bombing.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a red flag, you know, like, and literally, you should say this, like, copy it, says copy and paste this if you want, here's what you should say to that, you know. Anyway, again, my friends are like, do not do that. Call me. Like, why are you talking to chat about your dating life?
Sometimes it's helpful. You don't feel like a burden. That's my thing, is like, I don't want to feel like a burden on anybody.
I know. I'm so like, I don't want to come to you them. I'm like texting my friends like, oh, hey, can you, you know, talk me off the ledge of this thing, or like, or push me over if this is correct, you know, like,
not me, literally before we started recording this, before, like, literally today with Becca.
We were talking about it last night about how it's an amazing tool. But everyone is like, stop using it for all of that stuff.
I know. And I don't use it that way anymore. Like, there are moments where I do, but then it's like, I know that I don't need it in that capacity. But there were moments this year where I was like, I definitely, there's nothing else to do about
and
this.
You know what? There is something to be said about the chat, though, is if I were to Google something, if I were to be like, I want to find out this very specific information. Like, I was watching reality TV, shocker. And I was like, this girl is giving middle child. Like, the whole time I was like, so I was just like, I need to know, is she a middle child? So then I Googled and I was like, could not find anything. And then I went to chat. They were able to tell me that, yes, they were. Anyway.
Are you serious?
Yes. And it's funny because it's like, you Google something and it's like, okay, here's a million articles where you have to read through and dig through, and maybe the answer's in there.
Yep.
Chat is like, oh, yeah, here. Yes, no, maybe so. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's done. You know, I have my answer. I'm moving on.
Yeah.
You know.
And a chat was like, I can very easily give you the answer, because chat searches all of the internet, reads all of the articles in a matter of seconds.
Yeah. And
bing, bop, boom, bop, bam, bop, bam.
Yeah, it's done. I mean, their answer is in black and white right there in it seconds. It tells you.
I will say, I did see something on the internet about chat. And sometimes we need to ask chat to cite its sources.
Hi.
Because, oh, who's that?
Kate's here. Hi, Kate. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Can I have a hug?
Yeah. What's his name?
This is you. Aunt Ceci's here. Do you want to say? Oh, this
Hi.
One. This one. What do you want to name it?
Sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
Sprinkles. I love that name. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with me, Kate.
So funny.
It's so cute.
What happened?
She just came in and she's like, hi.
Did Dallin bring her in, or did she just walk in?
She just came in. It's so cute.
We're keeping that in.
I am not complaining. I love it.
No, it's so cute. I love it. We need to ask chat to cite its sources sometimes. So like, when we're asking chat for specific things, I wish I could find, I'll see if I can find the video again. It's been a couple weeks, so maybe I won't be able to. But basically, sometimes when you ask chat to cite its sources, it says like, I wasn't able to find any studies that back this up. And it's like, well, why did you say that? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, so we need to like be asking it to cite the sources sometimes.
It's not 100%, that's for sure.
No. And they say that too, they said chat can get things wrong. Make sure that you are double checking your information.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, the portrait thing, yeah. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna try it.
But yeah, I have a feeling mine will look like a Jackson Pollock.
Mm.
Like, it's going to look very insane, I think.
I'm excited to see yours too.
Yeesh.
You're like, I'm not.
It's gonna be crazy.
Well, speaking of crazy, we thought it would be fun to do a top 10 moments of our personal lives in 2025.
Yes, baby. We are gonna go in and we made a list of top 10. And here's the thing. Okay, this is something I saw Rhett and Link do from Good Mythical Morning. They also have a podcast called Ear Biscuits. Previous Amazing life, podcast, I used to watch them every single day. I used to listen to them every single week. I still enjoy their content very much, but I have a different relationship with it now. But they do this every year, and they go through their top 10 moments throughout the year. And I love it so much. And it's something that I did with my ex-husband at the end of every year. And it's like such a good way to think about your year in a positive light. I will say some of these are not like best moments of the year, but it was most important moments of my year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually have 11 and I tried really hard to pare it down before we started recording. And I'm like, I feel like I need to mention every single one of these though, because these were very important.
Well, I'm excited to hear them.
Oh, but I didn't order them. Did you order yours in top to bottom?
I did. Yeah.
10 to 1, 1 being the most important.
Yeah.
Evidently, okay math is, I'm terrible at numbers. I will write you anything you want. I will speak any way you want. English forever. Numbers? No. Do not ask me to estimate anything. I'm terrible at estimating how many people were at an event. I'm terrible at counting things and like
so
math
funny.
Never. Evidently this is no exception.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Okay, anyways, I unfortunately have 12 because I miscounted, and technically I'm gonna get rid of one. I think I could get rid of one as I was listing this. I can do this. Okay, so my number 11 moment was, we've talked about this on the pod a little bit. We go to a place called Shaver Lake every year, and my number 11 moment was seeing the full moon over Shaver. And this was important because it's something I've wanted to do forever. Every time we go, we've gone every year since I was a wee little lass. And this one in particular was really monumental for me because I really needed to release some things. And if you're a moon girly, like I am, full moons are for releasing things into the universe, releasing control, releasing habits, releasing anything, just getting rid of energy that you no longer want. And I needed to release some shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so being there in my favorite place in the world, it is my happiest place. I love that. It's the place I look forward to going every single year. Being there, seeing the moon on the full moon over the water, seeing everything lit up just by the moonlight, and then saying my mantras that I say pretty close to every day. I have my whole list of mantras. I am a magnet for positivity and abundance. I do not chase, I attract. I'm a magnet for positivity and abundance. I do not chase, I attract. The things that are aligned with me always find me. I am a powerful manifester. I am open to receiving magic and miracles. The things that I want and deserve are on the way to me right now. And it's just gotten longer. Like every year, it's like I add one more. Every time I hear something that I'm like, I want to add. So I'm saying my mantras, releasing some shit under the full moon. And it was like a really powerful moment for me this year.
That's nice.
That's my number 11.
I love that. And I'm really sad that I missed that because I
know Becca was so sick.
I was so sick.
She gets sick every year for this trip, and we thought we made it through the woods, babe, but we did not.
Nope. The last 3 years, I have been sick, except this last year was a little bit different because I was sick with what I later found out was an ulcer in my throat.
Which we also talked about on this pod.
Which, didn't even know that was an option, but it is. So
you can get an ulcer on your uvula.
Yeah, and it makes everything, and I mean everything, swallowing, drinking, eating, anything, hurt a lot. Anyway, no, I'm so sad I missed that, but it sounds like it was really, really nice. So I'm glad that it was a good experience.
Oh, yes. No, I loved it. Anyways, I want to hear what's your 10 moment?
Okay, my top 10 was, or number 10, was reaching 500 days streak on Duolingo.
Yay!
Yeah, so I've been learning French. So I started learning French in, let's see, maybe like September of 23. And mm-hmm. then I studied for maybe like four months or so, like before our trip that we took in March of 24 to Paris. And we went to a few other places. But anyway, I was like, I really don't want to be that person that shows up to a French person and she goes, hey,
Hi.
Can you help me? You know, like I wanted to be like, tu parles anglais? You know, like I wanted to be able to be
I wanted to be able to communicate.
To the very basic level. I wanted to be able to communicate with someone who's very patient. Which was so fun. Anytime I would talk to anybody that was like an Uber driver or whatever, I would always ask them, tu parles anglais? Which means, do you speak English? And sometimes they say no. And then one time I asked the Uber driver and I was like, tu parles anglais? And he says, no. And I'm like, okay. no problem, you know. And then he's listening to English music and I'm like, ha, gotcha. Right, you don't speak English. No, but there was one instance that I was like, okay, this is all paying off. We were checking out at Disneyland Paris, like at a cashier at one of the stores. And I asked the cashier, I was like, oh, tu parles anglais? And he goes, oui, but, or, you know, like, yes, but like, why would you want to speak English? You're speaking French now. And I was like, and I just started laughing. And mom goes, what the heck did he just say? And I was like, oh. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I understood that. And like, mom, you know, like mom didn't, you know, like,
yeah, you're like, I knew what they said. I knew what they said. And it came second nature to me.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, no, you're right. Like, why would I want to speak English if I'm speaking French right now?
I love it.
And even now, like watching Emily in Paris is so, so, so fun because I would say maybe like 40% of the episodes, there's like some French dialogue.
Yeah.
Maybe like 30 to 40% of the time there's some French dialogue. And it is so fun for me because I'm like, okay, that's not what they said. Like,
you're like, I know exactly what they said and that is not that.
Yeah. Cause they'll say like, do you want to come to my apartment and let's cook something?
Yeah.
And then in the captions, it'll just be like, hey, come over. You know, and it's like, that's not what they said.
Hold on, there's more detail there. There was like, a whole thing. They gave you the whole recipe in that, and then you just said,
come eat dinner. Come, food,
yeah,
food.
Come over. Yeah. But anyway, it's so.
WYD.
WYD. It's so fun to watch and be like, I understood that. Wait a second.
I love that. Aw, I love that so much for you. Because I know, like, Becca does work really hard on her French, like, literally every single day. And like when you first started, it was like, I feel like she was so private about it. Like she would go into her room, but she was like really private about it. Like she'd go into her room, but now like we'll be out in public and she's just like speaking into her phone, making sure she hits that streak. And I'm like, yes, 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 queen, get that French. Go, go, go.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like sometimes if I don't do it when I think about it, I'll be in bed falling asleep and then I'll be, oh my gosh, I haven't done my French yet. And then I'll like wake up and I'm like, dang it, I have to fall asleep again.
Did you hear that? I have my phone's on silent. Why did that go through?
No, I didn't hear it.
I just get these spam texts. Years and years ago, someone named Ricardo had my phone number. I've had this number for more than 10 years now, but I still get texts for Ricardo. And Ricardo's been looking for work for 10 years, apparently.
Oh boy.
So anyways, no, I love that. And it's inspiring because like, I really want to get better at my Spanish. Like I can understand some of it. And like me and my dad I'll ask my dad, like, what is this word again? How do you say this? But I really want to get better at my Spanish. And so maybe I'll do Duolingo because I did like a few years ago, when I was looking for anything to be happy about and to change, I like bought Babbel. I bought a year during like Thanksgiving sale, Black Friday. There we go. Black Friday sale. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't stick with it. I'm like, maybe I'll do Duolingo because it would be fun. Do you pay for it or do the free version?
No, I just do the free version. And it's nice because Duolingo actually just changed how they do it. Because before it was, you have 5 chances to make a mistake.
Oh.
Yeah. And there's like 20 things, we'll say. So if you make too many mistakes in one little lesson, mm-hmm. it doesn't count towards your streak.
So
you have to keep doing it until there have been times where I'm not kidding you. I have had to do the lesson at least like 5 to 7 times before it will count towards my streak.
I remember. Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, but now it's different and they have like a little battery life thing. Anyway, it's so much better now because I was like so frustrated when you get it wrong. You're like, dang it.
I know my anxiety could never. This is one of the reasons I don't like video games is like you only have 3 lives. I'm like, I don't even want to play then. I don't want to play because what if I lose one life?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. I love that. Great, great one. My number 10, I think, made me realize we may have some of the same things on the list. And so we can kind of like, if it does happen to be on the list, we can say what number it is on our list. Okay. Anyways, my number 10 was going to Boogie Bash.
Oh, yes.
It was really important. First of all, it was just fun. I had never gone to a specialized Disney event. And now I'm like, I think that's how I'm going to do it. Like, my pass is about to expire. And I'm thinking I might not renew and I might just book these like random events.
Yeah.
Because it's just fun, you know? But like, it was so fun. And like being there with like just our MKZ girls, we're missing one of the MKZ girls, our other Jessica. But Allie flew into town. It was us 3 girls and our mom. And we had a cute little costume. We talked about this on the pod too. And it was just so fun. Like, it was such a fun night. We got 1.5 million steps in, 7 pounds of candy each. Yeah. But it was just fun to be silly and to, like, have that childlike experience. And that's something that was really important to me is, like, normally or in my previous life, I would not have been able to enjoy that as fully as I did for a variety of different reasons. But I was able to enjoy it to the fullest. Didn't have to worry about I need to be home by such and such time. I can act as silly as I want to be because no one's son is going to tell me that I was being too silly. And like, you know, anything like that. Like, it was just so fun. And it's like a moment I'm going to remember forever. Like just getting to act like silly billies with my sisters and my mom.
Yeah. No, seriously. And it was
just so fun.
Yeah, that's actually my number 5.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, just girl time, straight up fun for hours is what I wrote down. Because, it's just like, it was just so fun because you can just literally step into, I'm a child. Yes. You know, we're all children.
Everyone in this park is acting like a child today.
Yeah, like we're all just here to have fun. And like,
yep.
We were like talking to people with costumes, like, oh my gosh, how long did that take you to make? Like the social boundary of being an adult and being like, oh, I don't want to talk to anybody was gone. Like it was just so fun.
Yes. And I feel like when you go to Disney on a regular day, everyone there, like they're there, they're having a good time. But I feel like there's so much more pressure on a regular Disney day. And because the parents, the families, they're all get this done. Go stop throwing that tantrum. So and so da 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 da. Like it's a little bit more chaotic. Whereas going during this event, everyone wanted to be there and everyone was acting silly because one, we're all in costumes. Everyone there is in costumes. Everyone there understood the assignment. Everyone there understood we are setting aside any kind of adulthood today. Mm-hmm. And we can talk to strangers. This can be elementary school and you can make a friend simply because you like their shoes.
Yes. No, literally. Yeah.
And it was awesome. So fun. It was a top tier experience. I love that was your number 5.
Yeah. So my number 9, it technically was not in the year of 2025, but within the year of 365 days from now.
Oh, yeah.
But it was Montana at Christmas time.
Yeah,
that was so fun. I've traveled to get to home for Christmas, but I've never done a vacation at like
on Christmas day,
you know, like I've never done that. And so that was really, really fun to be able to spend that with my parents, Jess, and my brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the area they live in is just so beautiful and homey and just feels like a Hallmark movie. And it was just perfect. Yeah. And yeah, I loved it.
It was a Hallmark Christmas for sure. And there were times even during this Christmas that I was like, oh my gosh, how fun would it have been if we did end up going up to Montana for this year? Like, we traveled this year for Christmas to like bring some joy into our life because things kind of fell apart a little bit. But like, I've been thinking recently, I'm like, I feel like I need to make another trip up to Montana.
Oh, for sure.
And like, I want to go during the winter. I want to go during snow.
Yeah. I've been every single season, and I can't even claim a favorite. They're all just, it is, you can't go a bad time. There is no bad time in Montana. There is not.
Look, if I wasn't so terrified of the fact that I may not find a liberal man up in that area, I would have moved there. I was on the phone with Britain for a while at one point during this year. I'm like, should I move to Montana? I'm like, where am I going to find a liberal man with a beard and tattoos? I really want to go during the spring, I think, or summer this next time, because I really want to do the zip lining. I want to experience in every season. I've only done fall and winter so far.
It's so fun. Like summer, spring, winter, fall. I've done it all. And it is, ooh, that rhymes. Spring, yeah, winter, there's fall, just,
I've done it all.
There's not a bad time to go. Yeah, it's just beautiful no matter what.
I love it. Okay, my number 9. I think this past summer we only had one beach day with the kiddos, with the squishies.
Yep.
There's one that comes to mind. Everybody was able to go. It was overcast for most of the morning. We went to Laguna, and this was so special to me because, one, it was very peak summertime vibes, and getting to like catch sand crabs with the kiddos and spend all day with them and, you know, go get ice cream after and then go swimming after and get pizza. Yeah. Like, but that was such a special day for me because last year, my beach days with the kiddos were ruined every single time. Look, there's a theme. I'm so sorry. I try so hard not to bash and not to be sad on when I talk about things on the podcast, but like, unfortunately, a lot of these moments are going to be because I had to fix past memories of things. This was I'm not going to lie, my trauma from 2024 beach days with the squishies was very loud on this beach day in 2025 because I had been trained, or my nervous system, not me, my nervous system had been trained that like on good beach days with the squishies, bad shit happens. I end the day in tears. I end the day being harassed. I end the day whatever. And so this time it was really hard, and I did have those moments inside me. Like, my body was very anxious in certain moments, like, okay, when's the other shoe going to drop? When's this going to get bad? It didn't. The whole day was perfect.
Yeah.
The whole day was perfect. And I look back on that moment, like, I could cry right now thinking about like how much I needed that. And how much that like really helped to rewrite. Gosh, it's only number 9 and I'm already crying. Jesus, Jess. But how much I really needed to rewrite that.
Yeah.
So that's my number 9 moment.
Oh, I like that. That's really nice.
Okay, what's your number 8 moment?
My number 8. So in 2024, I shot a wedding for a gal that I used to nanny for when I was like 14. Which is just bonkers. Wild that she's married.
She's anyway, a grown woman with a husband now.
Yeah. I'm like, you're still 3 years old. What are you talking about? I traveled to Oakland. That was just such a fun experience to be able to travel again for a wedding because I hadn't done that in so long. The other wedding that I shot in 2025 was for some friends that I met literally when I was a teenager. And I've kept in contact with this person.
Like somebody you met through a friend. A friend you met through a friend.
Yeah, it was a mutual friend. We met as teenagers and then just kind of stayed in touch with social media. Anyway, she was getting married to her wife and she asked me to take the pictures. And I was like absolutely honored. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful day because, again, traveled to, this time I went to San Diego to do this. We were on the rocks at sunrise and they were, you know, devoting their lives to each other, just them two reading their vows to each other.
Why am I so emotional? I want to cry. I wasn't even there.
I know. Yeah, the whole time I am just like fighting tears because I'm just like, this is what this is about. Like, this right now is what life is all about, is just find home wherever that is, you know, like find that and then celebrate the crap out of that, because like you know, like I and like find home, make home
wherever, whatever. Whoever, whatever.
Yeah, and like
whatever home is to you,
crap out of that. And it doesn't freaking matter what other people say or think. It like I can't explain the feeling that you get where it's when it's just like I'm able to put all the noise of the outside world aside and just be able to completely enjoy what's happening. That was this wedding, and it was just like I just like was fighting tears the whole day. It was just so beautiful, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I get to do this, you know. Anyway, yeah, that was definitely a top 10.
I love that so much. And I remember you coming back from that wedding and just like your whole like energy had shifted so much, because I remember like obviously you get the pre-shoot jitters like everyone does for anything.
Sure. I'm doing a shoot later today, and all I'm thinking about is the jitters.
That's why we're reminding you about all of this now, so you can and enjoy. I know. You're going to rock it so hard. You're going to rock the shoot so hard today.
It's up until the point for the very first picture. Like, that's when it all goes away. It's like I have people standing there, and then I click, and it's gone. But, like, up until that point, I am a nervous wreck. Like, am I going to, like... throw up on myself? Am I gonna like just explode into confetti? Like, I mean, what's the worst thing that's gonna happen?
Explode into confetti, she said. Sorry, I feel like I'm taking a video of this moment because I feel like you need to remember this moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just get so nervous, and then like when you get there and it's like okay, go time, and then it just stops. All the noise just stops. Yeah. Anyway,
there's something magical to be said for that. I love that. I'm so excited to hear how this shoot goes today, too. And
yeah, like, me too.
Because every time, like any of the shoots Becca has done during this past year, like have been so, first of all, the work is amazing. Personally, I mean, like, I'm a little biased, but the work is amazing. But also, like, I see what it does for Becca herself. Mm-hmm. And like, I love it for you. I really do. I wish more of that for you in 2026.
Yeah. Mm, me too. Thank you.
Man, I feel like Becca's got some like really, I feel like mine will, there's just some, you know, look, this was a year.
Yeah, we're going to get into it, and that's okay.
We're just going to get into it, and that's okay. But these were the top moments of my year. Okay, so number eight, I had a very massive heartbreak moment, and it's a top moment for me this year because it really taught me something about myself. This heartbreak, ridiculous. It's so stupid. Everyone on the internet, like if you're on any of the divorce stuff on the internet, if divorce comes across your algorithm, there's so many people that talk about how when you leave your partner and you get divorced, that does not hurt nearly as bad as your first heartbreak after divorce does. And I can say that's true. And so I had a heartbreak that like I have alluded to on the pod and have talked about, you know, using ChatGPT to help get me through. These were the moments I could not get out of bed.
Yeah.
Because it was very painful. But the reason this is on my list is while it was painful, it taught me a whole hell of a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. It taught me that I already knew I was resilient. I already knew I had grit. And that's something that like in dating, when people ask, like, what's your favorite quality about yourself? Like, that's one of my favorite qualities about myself is, like, I'm resilient AF. Like, I will figure out a way to make it work. And during this number eight moment, I was not sure that I could make it work. I was down bad. But I came out of it. Really, there was a couple heartbreaks with this person. But since the big heartbreak, since August to now, and I look at how I have elevated my life, not necessarily in like the romantic sphere at all. Like girl is still single, whatever, it's fine. But just like, I know now that that had to happen for me to expand my life in every other way of my life.
Yeah.
Because if that didn't happen, I would have been living somewhere different, I'm sure. I would not be as connected to my friends as I am. Mm-hmm. But like, it taught me a lot about, it taught me more about my resilience than I thought I knew. If I could get through that, if I could get through days of, I literally didn't want to get out of bed. I get days where Becca had to deliver dinner to my room and I had to force myself to eat on my bedroom floor. If I could get through that, God damn it, I can get through anything. I am woman, hear me roar.
Yeah.
And so that is why it's a big, it's a top moment for me. Because it taught me that I am resilient. Anyway.
I love that. Okay. I love that a lot. That's really
sweet. All right. What's your number seven?
Speaking of, my number seven is your divorce being final.
Why is that making me cry? I need some tissue. I'm sorry. Hold on.
I'm going to get through this. Because when...
We're going to need to put like a cry warning on this episode.
No, seriously. I remember going with you to file.
In 2024, Becca, I couldn't go by myself. Becca had to come with me to file.
There were so many moments where it was just like, as hard as it is, obviously, like, I'm going to need to be strong for her because she's probably not going to be able to walk out of here. From that point of resiliency, of making that decision, to when it was final, and it was like an actual weight had been lifted of just like, and watching you get your spark back, and like, oh my gosh, and like finding yourself again, because for so long it was you, but
not me.
So insanely watered down and filtered and edited and hidden. Yeah, seeing that was like the highlight of this year.
Oh, Becca, that's so sweet. No, and she's right. Like, I could not have filed without Becca. Literally, I think after I like had officially filed and we had left the room, like I kind of collapsed into her in the hall. And I feel, honestly, like we talked about not wanting to feel like a burden. I feel so bad. You had to carry part of that. Like, not even just filing, but just like the whole process. Like, you and mom and pop and the family. Like, I feel terrible about, but I'm so grateful for it. I need to preface that. Like, I'm so grateful for it, but I feel so terrible that like, that was something that you, the family had to carry, and learning things about my marriage.
Yeah.
That, like, having to, you know, burden you guys with that was really hard, but I'm so grateful to you guys. And to Becca specifically, like she became my best friend throughout this whole thing.
On a lighter note, I literally had a dream last night.
Shut up.
Let me preface this for our listeners. Yep.
I know exactly where this dream is going now. Yep.
Oh, yeah. You know who you are and you need to hear this. Ugh. But anyway, throughout the whole year, there were so many times that I would wake up and my fists would be clenched because I was dreaming about assaulting this person. So many times. And I'm not kidding. And it was like so many times where it was like they would show up in our house and I would just chew them out. Rip them a new one. What the hell do you think you're doing here? Like, you know.
Becca is savage sister in waking and yeah. sleeping life.
And my sleeping life. Clenched fists. Like my hands were sore from clenched fists most of the time. Anyway, I had a dream last night that I was going through the house that you lived mm-hmm. in, and I, with all of their things there, mm-hmm. and I was looking around the room, and I had both my middle fingers up, and I was like, F you, F you, F you, F this, F that, all of it.
She threw her mic.
I'm like, no, seriously. I was just like, just screaming at the top of my lungs. F you.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I don't know if I can keep that in, but that was my dream.
That's so funny that you still have those dreams. I mean, I still do. That too, but
oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm still very angry. The anger in women does not just go away.
No,
I'm learning.
We just figure out new places to put it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Anyway,
oh, my number seven is very similar. It was the next time of going to the courthouse, and it was getting my name changed.
Mm.
And changing my name back to my maiden name was powerful to me, because when I changed my name to my married name, I had a full like existential crisis. Like I dyed my hair pretty close to black. Like I went level 2 for you hair people out there. I did not know who I was. And it was months of like, I don't know who I am as this new name. I don't know who this person is. Which should have been telling in itself. But getting my name back and getting to redo this version of Jessica McKenzie, because the previous version of Jessica McKenzie, as I played it, not as my sister-in-law plays Jessica McKenzie very well. Getting to do this version of Jessica McKenzie, whereas the first season of Jessica McKenzie was still very watered down and still, you know.
Yeah.
She did the best that she could, and she made the decisions and held her opinions based off the information and life experience that she had. But getting to do season 2 of Jessica McKenzie is like...
Yeah.
But I remember when I left the courthouse and I had my papers, it felt real, but it did not feel real until I went to get my Social Security card. And I sent a video to my family being like, I am officially and legally Jessica McKenzie. And that was important. I was excited to do season 2.
Yeah, I love that. Season 2. I love that.
What is your number 6?
There was a few days where Brother Dallin and his wife, they were traveling. Mm-hmm. And so we were watching the two older children, my niece and nephew. And there was a day where I got to spend the whole day with them. And I'm talking, take Wes to school, like drop him off, pick him up. You know, like we went shopping with Kate. Like, I mean, just like the whole day was just like so fun. And then I got to fulfill a little childhood dream, and it's so silly, but I don't even care. I want to someday be able to pick up my niece and nephew or my own kids and be like, we're gonna go get some ice cream right now. Like, and I was able to do that day. And I was like, this is probably the one opportunity that I'm gonna have, you know, at this stage of life to do this. And so I was like, and so Wes's reaction was so cute. He said, you bring the party.
Oh, like, stop. That's so cute.
Anyway, so like that whole day of just being with them and like spending the day with them and just like literally treating them to, I want that. Okay, yep, we're buying it, you know. You know, it was just so fun.
Oh, I love that. That's such a good memory. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, you built a core memory for them too. Like, it's a core memory for you, but it's also going to be a core memory for them too.
Yeah.
Like the day Aunt Becky picked us up and we just got to do whatever we wanted. Like the day of guests, so pretty sweet. Much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's see. My number 6. This is really like a combination thing, but I got to do a girls' trip this year, and I got to go to Big Bear with some of my friends. And this is like, having this on this list is like really symbolic of just getting to rekindle my friendships with my Orange County people. Didn't live in Orange County for, you know, a while. And so I didn't really get to have friendships. Yeah. I didn't get to like cultivate the friendships that I have down here. And so getting to do the girls' trips and getting to do the girls' trips in the way that like I've always wanted to do a girls' trip, and getting to have the friendships that I have, and like getting to see the people I haven't seen in a long time, and getting to reconnect with the people I haven't been able to reconnect with in a long time, and getting to be fully honest in who I am with them have been like, you know, a really important part of my year.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
I love that.
What is your number 5?
My number 5 is the Oogie Boogie. Oh. Okay, yeah. So maybe since my number 5 was Oogie Boogie and we already kind of talked on it. Jess, do you want to give your number 5?
My number 5 was our Hawaii trip. And but specifically, obviously, that was a big thing. Getting to go to Hawaii, I've always wanted to go. I was told that I would likely never go. Anyway, so getting to go and getting to go with my family, my sisters and my mom was so fun. But there's a specific moment on that trip that is like the top five. Our Airbnb was on the beach. And I decided I wanted to go out swimming one morning. And so I went out by myself to go swim in the ocean, which is like a huge for me. I don't love to swim in the ocean. I'm scared of the ocean. But I was like, I'm going to go swim in the ocean. So I went and swam in the ocean. And while I was doing my swimming in the ocean, I was like, I've been filming like kind of video diary type things throughout the year. Not ever going to share them anywhere. Like, it's just mostly for me. But I was filming a video diary about how important this trip was. And, like, I was talking about some pretty deep things and, like, some things I was really grateful for. And, you know, how healing this trip has been and getting to do all of these things. And as I'm filming this video diary, it's a little bit later in the morning, so this shouldn't have happened, but a huge sea turtle swam up to me. And I was scared, first of all, because like I said, I'm terrified of the ocean. And it was also big. And it was later. Normally, the sea turtles are out in the morning. And it was like 10, 11 a.m. at this point. So it's a little bit late in the day for them to be out. And so I thought it was a manta ray. And so I immediately ran out of the water. But then once I got out of the water, I realized it was a sea turtle that had swam up to me. And that moment, I need to go back and rewatch that video of like what I was talking about in that moment. But I remember being like, this is a very specific moment for this to happen. And it was very monumental. And like looking into what sea turtles actually mean, like spiritually, sea turtles symbolize longevity, wisdom, patience, endurance, and protection, representing a connection to ancient knowledge and the earth. With their ability to navigate both land and sea, signifying adaptability and finding one's way in life. And I remember looking that up and thinking like it was very synonymous with what I happened to be talking about in that moment in that video diary. So that is something that was like,
that's really cool.
I love that. So on that trip, I also bought like a little sea turtle tchotchke to remember that moment. And it sits on my bookshelf.
That's awesome. But that Hawaii was my number three, actually.
Oh, really? Dang it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just like it was just so much fun to just literally, we were there for like 7 days. We were right on the beach and it was just so nice. Like, it was just, oh, we want to go here. Let's go here. Oh, we wanted to try that. Let's go eat here. You know, it was just like no rules, no plans.
Yeah.
We're going to do whatever the heck we want.
Very, very loose plans. We were just, we were there for vibes.
Yeah. And we were like, let's go swimming before we go do whatever, you know, like, and we'd go swim for like 5-10 minutes and then go get dressed and we're out the door. Anyway, it was just, it was just so fun. It was so nice. And just, to have that time together was just, obviously a highlight. It was awesome.
Well, what's your number four?
My number four is beginning therapy again.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So I have been to therapy 2 other times in the past. My very first experience with therapy was not good at all. It was terrible, in fact. Mm-hmm. And so by the second time, I was like really eerie about the whole thing and just not really trustworthy of my therapist at the time. Anyway, and very slowly, she cracked me open just a little bit. And because it was like maybe like 2021 where I was like, okay, I feel like I've worked through enough. Like, I was moving states, so it was like, okay, I'm going to find a new therapist in California. So anyway, it kind of ended up that way where it was like, okay, well, I'm kind of good right now, so I'm going to stop, you know? And then, 2025, March of 2025, I was like, this ain't it. Nope. And so I literally Googled and I was looking for an LDS therapist in my area, which is kind of hard to find. But I was able to find one that has absolutely shifted so many perspectives of mine of like, well, what if you look at it like this, you know, and like, well, what if I explained it like this? Does that make sense? Anyway, but she has completely shifted the way that I feel and think and process and like realizing that of like, the growth that she's helped me make of just like understanding myself and like how to properly process something that's like really big feelings.
Yeah.
And not just like be able to understand what I'm feeling and then convey that in a respectful, constructive way rather than just like, well, you blah blah, you know, like that gets us nowhere. That gets us nowhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, just starting therapy was, yeah, it is just, it's helped in so many different aspects of my life that, yeah, I don't even want to think about what this year would be without it, you know? So.
No, and I'm so proud of you for going and doing the thing to find the therapist, because I know Becca's experiences with therapists, not necessarily therapy, because Becca's always been like, we advocate for therapy.
Absolutely.
This here chat. But Becca had some really gnarly experiences with therapists before. And so I know that was hard to like overcome and to try to figure out how to move through. And like, I'm so proud of you for doing the thing. And it seems like this therapist has been a really great fit for you. And I love that it's gotten you to think about life and think about reactions in a different way. Like, I'm really proud of you and
thanks,
you know, happy for you.
Thanks. Me too.
I'll go my number four really, really quick. Mm-hmm. New job has been fantastic. I started it back in October. It was obviously a big moment for me after getting laid off earlier this year and having to completely rebuild professionally and figure out if this is even what I really enjoyed doing. But it's been, obviously, it's been great for me. I love the company. I love the people. I love my team. I feel very fulfilled in what I do. I feel like I'm making a difference and I have impact there. And so that's been very nice to like feel that, because, you know, that's not always the case with people in their work. So I'm very, very blessed in that aspect and really excited that I get to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's nice to see, because you're like, okay, every other no was because of this opportunity that was coming later. And as frustrating as all of those no's were, this, from even my perspective, this has paid off.
Yes.
For you. You know, 100%. To wait for this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the jobs that I got so close on that I went to multiple rounds and it became me and one other person and I didn't get those jobs was really hard. But like I see now, like this is where I'm supposed to be. Like this is like a perfect fit for my personality. I feel like I can bring my weird, authentic self to work. And it has afforded me lots of connections at this company. Whereas the other places, I, you know, can't say for certain, but like it likely would not have been the proper fit. Like I can think of one that like I knew that it likely wouldn't have been a good fit, but it was something to get on a resume and have for a couple of years. But like, this is definitely something like, okay, this feels like a homecoming, because it reminds me of a previous company that I was at that I loved and thrived at. So
that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My number three was Hawaii, which we talked about. So so since I already talked about my number three, Hawaii, what is your number three?
Oh my gosh. My number three was taking a solo trip down to San Diego. That was a reclaiming for me. I love San Diego so much. It played a very important part in my previous life. It was where I had my honeymoon before, and we took lots and lots of vacations, little day trips together before. And so getting to do that solo and reclaim some of those areas and some of those memories and create new memories at favorite spots was really important. And it was really hard. It was so hard. Like I remember even putting my things in my car going and just feeling so much anxiety and so much like trepidation of like, what happens if I get there and I can't leave the room? Like, what happens if I get there and I just can't, like, and just practicing being gentle with myself was really a huge part of that trip. So not only getting to reclaim places that I love and create new memories there, but also learning to practice being gentle with myself, because there were moments where I was like, okay, you know what? I thought I might do this today. I don't think I can in this moment, so I'm going to rest. And so I did rest. And then later on, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm going to go do that thing now. And so I did. So I was like kind of following what my body and my heart needed in those moments. Yeah. And there's times I shifted plans. Like I had anticipated, I was like, I'm going to go, like there's a sushi spot I love down there and used to go a lot with my ex. And I intended to eat at the place, but then I was like, I don't think I can. I think it's enough that I came here to get the thing and now I'm going to go. And so I got the thing and then I left. But it's like, you know, learning to practice mindfulness in a way that was going to be gentle with my experience. So that was an important part of my year. That was my number three. I love that.
Yeah, there's something we said about having the goal of like, I'm going to go do this hard thing. Mm-hmm. And you go and you show up and you're like, you know what? I came. And yes, that's all I can do. And that is totally fine.
Yep. Yep. I didn't do all of it. But you know what? This is progress.
Yeah.
This was being kind to myself and also honoring the version of me that wanted to do this thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, to me, like, you know, everyone talks about authenticity. And I know that's such a gross thing. Like, everyone's so sick of hearing, like, be your authentic self. And there was a mindset shift that had to happen for me in the past, you know, 3-4 years of like, what does it mean to be my authentic self? Because it was like, I think we think about being, if you're like, oh, be your authentic self, that feels like a finish line. Like, once you are authentically yourself, that is it. You are authentically yourself.
Yeah.
But I like to think of it in what I mean when I say like, oh, be your authentic self. It's like, I want you to be authentic to who you are in this moment, because just like, you know, evolving, we're constantly evolving. We hope we are constantly evolving. Our mindset is changing. Our ideas are changing. Our tastes are changing. We've talked about this on the podcast too. Like, just like that evolves and changes, your authentic self is constantly evolving and changing with you. Yeah. And so being authentic is part of being authentic is getting to honor those moments of like, I came, I did the thing, and being authentic to myself right now is I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And that's being authentic. You didn't fail being authentic to yourself because you decided I needed to leave. Like, no, you still did the thing and you're honoring what you need in that moment. And that is being authentic to yourself.
Yeah. No, I love that. That perfectly said.
Look, I've had lots of time to think about this. Oh gosh. Okay. What is your number two?
My number two was our niece being born, Brooke.
Aww.
Yeah, she is just like adding another. So we call them squishies. I call them my little squishies. They're just my little squishies. But yeah, like adding another squishy to the bunch was just like, just so exciting. And like, and to watch my older niece and nephew become older siblings was just like so much fun to watch, because they are so excited about their new little sister. And like, it
everything
is just,
that she does,
they're fascinated by her, they love her, they're obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with all of them, so anyway, I just that was just such a fun thing to watch.
I know. It's fun to watch them care for her and like perform for her, and then to see in turn her love for them and like how much she loves them. It's so cute. I just I love it. That's a good moment. I love that. Mm. My number two is launching Binging with Benefits.
Yay!
So my number two was getting to do this with Becca. What started as, I think the day, oh my gosh, Becca, I just realized this right now. The day that we started talking about this as a crazy idea, and Becca recorded a video and posted it on Instagram of us saying like, we should do a podcast, because Becca would sit and tell me about, you know, like watching Love is Blind UK, and the conversations were funny. Or she would catch me up on how things were going on Outlander, because I had stopped watching that a long time ago. And the conversations were so funny, because like Becca, the way Becca was telling me about it was like in such a like sister language way. And then I would react to it. And so when we had that idea, I believe that was on the way back from me filing for a divorce. I believe it was that same day. And I think what happened was after we came to courthouse, we went through the Starbucks line and I got some Starbucks and we were going to go to the FedEx right after that to make copies so that I could send them to the lawyers and to have him served. And I'm pretty sure, because I think about that video too, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's what I was wearing when I filed too. And I'm pretty sure that that was the day that I filed for divorce when that idea came to be.
Wow. That is crazy. I never thought about that.
I know. Wow. I hope I'm not misremembering. But like getting to do this with Becca has been so, so fun. And I know I've had like ebbs and flows of like obviously going through nonsense and like getting to participate as much as Becca is really the reason this whole podcast happens. Like, I'll be honest with you, like she really truly is. But getting to do this and getting to like have fun and yap and talk with you, like to me that's what this is about, is like I don't care. We're so grateful that any of you guys listen to this.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Like seriously, like the fact that anyone listens is crazy to me. But like the point for me is just getting to like talk and yap with Becca and just be silly and do nonsense social media and get to do nonsense conversations and like stupid opener conversations of what's your, you know, let's talk X, let's rank this, let's do that. Like it's just kind of fun. So like this has been it's been a very healing experience for me. Yeah. And it's obviously given me something to try to focus as much as I could on during a really hard year. So
yeah,
that's my number two.
I love that. Well, my number one is launching a podcast. So yeah, that's first of all, I did not even realize that that's because I remember thinking it was summertime.
I'm pretty sure it is that day. It was like August something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it being really hot that day. That day we took that video. Yeah. No, it's been so fun. There's so many aspects to why this is so fun because obviously there's the relationship that we now have that we definitely did not have before. There's the learning a new skill of like learning how to podcast because, shocker, don't know how to, we did not, I still don't know how to do this.
We still like, don't know how to do this.
The fact that I got it on Spotify at all is like a miracle. I know.
On Apple, my gosh.
I know. It's so fun to be able to be like, oh, wow, well, what about this equipment? And like, well, what if we did this? And like, you know, down to like the ideas and the things that we talk about or the movies we talk about. Or like there's just so many aspects to it that it has been so fun. And just like, and it's so fun to be able to share it with people too. Cause I'm like, I'm really proud of this thing that I did. We worked really hard on this. And like, I'm proud of the work that we've put in. And like, the results are like pretty shocking to me every time on RSS feed, which I had to learn what that was.
Thank you, ChatGPT, for teaching us about that.
No, seriously. I was like, what do I do? Anyway, RSS feed is essentially like a database of like, everything communicates from this website.
Yeah.
The numbers are all on there as well. So like seeing numbers on there was like, wait, we know that many people? And a map of the world. Weird. A map of the world.
I know. I don't understand how we've reached some of the places that we have.
I don't understand. Like there are countries that I'm like, how did
we don't know anyone in that country.
No, I definitely don't know anyone in South Africa. You know, like, I mean, it's mind boggling to like, be like, wow, somebody's listening to me in South Africa or Korea or Japan or like, what?
I know.
Anyway, so it's so fun.
It's so fun. It's so wild. I remember the day we launched and we were just like,
we were crying enough constantly.
Because we're like, I thought maybe 20 people would tune in on our first episode. And we definitely got more than that. And it was like so weird and like humbling in a way, is like, mm-hmm. there's this many people in our lives that care enough about what we're doing, whether or not they're hate listening or they're listening. Like, yeah. there are this many people in our lives. Cause at that point it was literally just like, we had been posting to our own communities mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, these are all people we know directly that mm-hmm. care enough about us that they're listening.
Yeah.
Which was wild.
Yeah. So cool. So
the fact that any of you guys listen is amazing to us. So thank you.
No, seriously. Yeah. It's been so fun. And even if no one listened, I would still do it. But like, 100%. It's so fun to hear from the listeners and be like, you know, hear their perspective on different things of like, yeah. you know, what a jumping pant looks like, you know, like, mm-hmm. like it's what a so jumping pant fun. Is.
Yeah. No, it's so fun to like have. To be able to have those conversations with you guys. And it's weird, like every time someone reaches out and they're like, oh, you talked about this, I'm like, you listen to my podcast?
I know. I'm like, you know what that is?
Like literally at Thanksgiving we had yeah. somebody say something yeah. and I was like,
first of all, how do you know that I have a podcast? How did you yeah. find out?
Yeah, who told you?
Who told you?
I'm happy you're here, but like, how?
I'm so grateful, but also how? And also, yeah. what episodes did you listen to?
I know.
Was I crashing out during one of them?
Yeah.
If so, I'm so sorry.
That's so funny.
Oh, gosh. No, it's been a fun ride for sure. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, yay. Well, that's your number one. And it would have been my number one. It would have been. If it was not for... my number one.
What is your number one? I'm excited.
My number one was getting my own place.
I thought so.
That is my number one moment of 2025 because it means that chapter is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while there's still a lot to like process and still things that like I'm learning how to unpack and how to not bring into future relationships or future life, that was the final piece, right? The final yeah. Yakuza, the final boss to if we're talking video games, right? Like,
yeah.
Cause you know, I filed, it was final. I mean, there was a lot of pieces in between there. Then after it was final, I had to sell the house still and had to,
yeah.
you know, there were still so many little pieces and like changing my name and changing the name on all the things, which was insane.
Yeah.
But like.
I mean, like down to like DoorDash accounts. I mean, like things literally.
And there's still things I'm finding. Like where did we go? Even our reservation for Christmas Day, I was like, yeah. I didn't change my open table name. I need to change my open table name on there because it was. Under my old name and it, like just all of that, but like the final piece was like getting to have my own place and getting to build my own place and when on Christmas Eve I forgot that I was having a package delivered and mm-hmm. so Christmas Eve I left my place to go to my parents' place and you know with Becca and everybody and then I was like crap, I can't let that package sit there because I wasn't going to be home for a couple days and luckily I live close enough but I was like I need to go back home and I need to just like put the package inside and they're like oh yeah we'll come with you so we all drove back to my place on Christmas Eve and I came up just real quick opened my door and tossed the package inside but I remember looking inside and just being like I love my home and just had a moment of just like I love this life that I have fought tooth and nail to build mm-hmm. and like this space being mine and it's a very physical representation of everything that I fought to build for myself. And so that's my number one moment is the day that I, you know, moved in and mm-hmm. got the keys and just like having my home. Like people visit and they're like, you've only lived here. I've been here about a month and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like when people would visit and they're like, how long have you lived here? I'm like, oh, it's been like 3 weeks or it's been a month. And they're like, it's only been a month and your house is already like, I worked hard. I was like, I'm not, I'm decorated, got stuff. But like, I, you know, anyways, was like, I worked really hard to create a space that felt like a sanctuary for me. And it definitely feels like that after the stormy few years that I've had. And I'm really grateful for it.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I love that.
Yay. Those are our top moments from 2025.
So many good ones.
Lots of good ones. This is going to be a longer episode. So thank you for sticking with us this long.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah. What a year. A year of growth. For sure.
A year of growth. And you know what's crazy? In numerology, 2025, I believe. So in numerology, you add dates up until it gets to a single digit. And so 2025, 2 plus 2 is 4 plus 5 is 9. And so it's a 9 year. Mm-hmm. And in numerology, a 9 year is a year of closing chapters and a year of closing cycles and finishing out, you know, the rebuilding and all of that. And 2026 is a 1 year, which is a year of bringing in the new things that you want for your life and building.
Bring it on, baby. Let's go.
And that's where we're going into 2026. We are rebuilding, bringing that energy into our life. We have closed out our chapters. We're releasing the things we no longer want with us in 2026. So we've got a couple more days to do that where we sit currently in time. But 2026, baby, it's our 1 year.
Love it. I love that. I've never heard that before, but I love that.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? I love it.
That's so cool. Well,
do you have a benefit for us?
I have a benefit that kind of ties into all this.
Oh, perfect.
So let me grab my phone. Okay. Turn on. Oh, it went off. Did it
die?
The
camera turned off. Did your phone died?
My phone is dead. How does that happen?
And that is a type B sister.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Well, let me find it on my computer then. My computer's about to die now.
Are you serious?
I'm not even kidding.
Becca,
what a joke.
It's so funny.
I saw this TikTok and I'll plug it in, post it on Instagram or whatever. But it's a quote that says, to conduct the orchestra, you must turn your back on the audience.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love this. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
Yep. So he goes on to explain, this creator, the username is T Drew. He goes on to explain that leadership is not about pleasing the crowd. Because the second that you take your eyes off of your orchestra of like, you know, I'm directing the orchestra, I'm directing my life. Mm-hmm. And the second that I stop doing that or looking at my own life for my own direction, validation, whatever, the second I turn to the audience, everything, no one knows what they're doing. Like, they have no leader to follow. I'm not looking at the audience while I'm trying to conduct an orchestra. I am solely focused on that. And then when it's all over and it's settled and it's done, then I turn around and I wait for the applause. Like, isn't that insane? I love it.
That's such a great analogy.
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, that just is like, I'm not looking for external validation on how I'm leading my life.
Yeah.
That's not what this is here for. That's not at all what we're trying to do. I need to be focused on how I want this to sound, how I want this to perform.
Yeah.
I am in charge of my own orchestra. And then at the end of it, people can love it. They can hate it. They can applaud. They can boo. Don't give a care. I am doing this for me and how I want this to sound.
I love that because, it's like I am solely focused on directing my orchestra. Like, there is nothing else in my head. I am 1,000% invested in what is happening in front of me.
Yep.
And only when it is over do I even remotely think about turning around for validation.
Exactly. Only when it's done. That is when I go,
what do you guys think?
Beautiful, and no?
Yeah. Wasn't that amazing? I gave
wasn't
everything.
Wasn't that amazing?
And regardless of what you think, I know I did the best I could and I performed the best I could and my team performed the best that they could.
Yep.
And that's all anyone can ask for.
And that's all I want. That's all that matters.
Done and done. I mean, that's I love
such
it.
A good way of thinking about that. Because like how many times am I, obviously no one's perfect at this. I'm not great at still like not making decisions based off of what I think other people are going to want from me, but like much better at it now.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of leading the orchestra and then going.
Yeah. You guys watching stuff?
No. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Before it was like I was facing and like trying to do this, right? Like leading behind me as I'm looking at them and like, oh, their faces are, oh, they look pretty mad. Okay, so let's do less strings here. Like, you know,
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that. But now we need to focus our attention on our own orchestra.
Yeah.
I love people who put things together like that. TikTok, man.
I know. It's the best. I just love it.
Why is it so good?
You can convince me to stop using chat. You cannot convince me to stop using TikTok. Okay, just don't even try. Don't waste your breath. I'm not going to do it.
Unfortunately, I downloaded it as a joke during the pandemic, and boy, does it have me hooked since.
Yeah,
because no, it's not just dancing stuff. I learn much.
No, literally, anytime it's funny because I'm like. I like there's an event that I want to go to that's like pretty big or something. Like, for instance, a tree lighting. I'm like, how busy is it right now? There's somebody doing a live right now that's showing everything.
Becca has done that while I've been at a concert.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wow. There's the concert that she's at. How funny. Or like, how busy is Disneyland right now? Somebody is on live right now all the time. It doesn't matter. Someone's
I can
on there.
Look anyway, and I- see. Exactly.
I love it. Anyway, so yeah,
stand for TikTok.
Focusing on your orchestra.
Focus
drop the
on
mic.
Our orchestra. Drop.
Boom, boom, baby.
Mic dropped. Oh, I love that. Thanks for sharing that, Becca.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're so grateful for all of you as we are ending this 2025. Yes. Thank you for listening. We've been doing this since May, and now. We're at the end of December and, you know, it's been a wild ride. It's been a fun year of learning. And what wasn't that, hasn't Kylie Jenner said like, it's been a year of learning.
What's the quote?
Of realizing things. That's what she
realizing.
Said.
Yep.
A year of realizing. Exactly. So like, anyway, learning things about how to do this. And, you know, we appreciate you guys tuning in for the ride as we figure this out. And like, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We're just having fun. And hopefully you guys are having fun too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe, review, and share the pod. I want to hear, like, you know, send us your top, you know, moments of 2025. And, you know, we love to hear from you guys. So
absolutely. I'll make a post where we can talk about it because I would love to hear what everyone else's top 10, top 5, top 3, whatever you want to share. I want to hear it because we're all just humans having a human experience. So
we're all just doing the best we can, leading our orchestras.
Exactly. I love it. Anyway.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we love you guys so much. Thanks for tuning in.
Love you.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's online, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits. Sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.